Okay, good evening, YouTube. And Sam, if it wasn't hot enough here in the UK, the heat just got turned up at Stamford Bridge, didn't it?
Oh, the heat
got turned up at Stamford Bridge. Good evening, guys. I'm Lee. This is Sam from FPL Family. We are just coming off of that emotional roller coaster that was Chelsea versus Tottenham. Give us your initial thoughts. We're going to, of course, dive into the games, guys. We're going to talk about our overall ranks and where we're at in FPL, but the guys want to hear what you thought of that game. It was intense.
I first of all like to issue an apology
for
my behaviour during the second half of that game, which was rather emotional and rather loud. Sorry, neighbours, if I disturbed your peace from Sunday afternoon.
I think the celebration for the Kane goal, which, by the way, was a Reece James own goal, but...
Well, in your opinion?
In my opinion.
To be fair, I thought...
As a Reece James non-owner, of course I think that.
And a Kane seller for me, I was happy for it to go to Reece James.
We've got to talk about the Haaland and the Kane stuff and all of that, but your celebration when that goal went in was that you got on the floor, you smacked the carpet a few times for some reason, the cat bolted out of the room, you just went, yes, like that. And then on the touchline, because Tuchel had just, when Chelsea went 2-1 up, Tuchel did his kind of Mourinho stroke Klopp running down. You were like, get out, Tuchel.
I was actually shouting, Tuchel, you're not allowed to leave your touchline box. Book him, send him off.
It was so good because Tuchel had already been booked, has had contact, and you were just like, right, get Tuchel
send
off.
Him off.
Get him off.
Send him off.
The emotions were high, guys. The emotions were high, as they were during the game. A little bit emotional.
But although from a semi-neutral perspective, you've got to say, what a belting game that was.
Oh, easily the best game we've had this season. Easily.
I mean, we might struggle
to get a better game than that maybe all season. I mean, it was just sensational. What
it
a game. Had a bit of
it?
Everything.
Had
I mean,
everything.
And how, I mean, we could spend an hour just talking about that game. I mean, the talking points from it, Romero pulling Cucurella's hair before the second Spurs goal. I mean, that's a red card. In any other world where Anthony Taylor is not refereeing a Chelsea game, that is a red card.
No, but it wasn't a red
card
because
don't start me with the VAR. You had the Havertz getting fouled in the lead up to the first goal. It was just a bonkers game. Of course, the manager's kicking off as well, right? And it was insane.
But it was everything. Insane. That game for me is why the Premier League is the best league going.
That's wicked, wasn't it?
Honestly,
it's so good.
Like it's the 30th anniversary, isn't it, of the Premier League? For that,
yeah.
Like honestly, that match encapsulated everything that's great about the Premier League and great about FPL. So many talking points, so many massive emotional moments.
Yeah.
And I was here for it. I lived it, guys. Honestly, if we'd have done a watch, well, we couldn't have done a watch along. It would have been beeped every five seconds.
But there's loads of FPL talking points as well.
So we'll
get to that game in a bit, and we'll try and steer away from the match maybe and focus on the FPL stuff because there's so much to talk about. You had Cucurella's debut, who played really, really well. You got Reece James popping up with, you know, more points in the attacking third of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe could have had an own goal at the end. I don't know. You've got the sort of Kane and Son thing and the Kulusevski dynamic, which we spoke a lot about last week.
Yeah.
And I, for one, sat here last week and said, right, you know, before I was, you know, as I was planning the first few weeks over the summer, game week three, the upcoming game, it was
Spurs
absolutely
in.
Spurs in, right? The tide is turning a little bit. Of course, I fancied you Southampton game week one, but I saw that Chelsea game and I just thought, look, we're not gonna know enough game week one. I'd like to watch Spurs in that game, just accept if I miss a few points, watch you against Chelsea, and then I'll know what to do in game week three. I'm not sure I know what
know?
To do. No, I'm not. And we'll talk about that a bit later.
I'm not sure it's that clear.
Yeah. A lot of people in the chat saying Chelsea were robbed. I think I agree.
I prefer not to speak.
You prefer not to speak, but I think we agree. But listen, it wasn't just that game. I mean, another great game. The game before that, Forest versus West Ham today. We watched
Honestly,
that.
Honestly, and what I will say...
Amazing.
The TV games this weekend...
Really good.
From Brentford and United last night to Forest today.
Oh, United fans... Are we talking about United or are we just skipping over it?
No, we are. Oh. We're going to have to talk about
them. This is FPL Family. We ain't talking about teams that we don't want FPL assets
from. Well, I've
got
Rashford, so we're going to have to talk about them.
Oh, yes.
So,
okay.
And then who was the lunchtime game? Oh, it was Villa, wasn't it? It was Villa and Everton. So there was a lot of talking points in that game. Some big injuries, some big benchings. All four of the televised games this weekend so far.
Bloody Bailey benched after Stevie G bigged him up all day on Friday.
I benched Trippier because he bigged him up on Friday. Honestly, so frustrating. But... What I will say is that all four of those televised games, massive FPL talking points. So the yes. Liverpool game tomorrow has got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, Dan Norman in the chat, presumably a Manchester United fan, saying just skip up, just
we
skip
can't,
over.
We can't, Dan. We have to talk about them because I've got Rashford.
And what are we saying about this? There's a bit of a leak in the news about them terminating
what?
Ronaldo's contract.
What?
Have you seen this?
No.
I think it's just a bit of Twitter hysteria.
What, like
frankly,
Arsenal did with Aubameyang?
Well, who knows? Let's see. It feels as if it's just a bit of fluff and bluster, to be honest with you. But let's see. Let's say hello to a few people in the chat, Sam. We've got Cy Burdett is in, who has renamed himself, by the way.
Good, I hope so.
Cy, I hope you're doing well this evening.
What's he called?
Renamed himself to the midfield master, Jack Colback.
Yes.
Jack Colback, who famously was in your first draft a few game weeks ago over the summer, but I think has found himself out of that draft now. Samar95 is in. How are you doing, Samar? He says, so proud of Sam on Sky. Told you guys I trusted Harry Kane. So, yes, that's one thing that we absolutely need to address was
Thank
that
you
and Wes, FPL Heisenberg, were on Sky Sports News on Friday and you
Saturday.
Did a magnificent job on Saturday.
So nervous.
Fair to say, you were nervous, yes.
I don't think I was even that nervous before we got married, like walking down the aisle. I was genuinely, when I was waiting to go on, I was an absolute hot mess. It was so, because I had to shut the windows. It was so hot here yesterday. But honestly, what a fantastic experience. And Lee will be on in a few weeks' time. I'll be on back on again in a couple of weeks' time. So it will be just, it was brilliant. It was a great experience. And actually, I watched it back afterwards, which is something I normally avoid because I find it so cringy.
You don't like watching yourself, do you?
I hate it. So I watched it back afterwards and I actually was like, actually, it came across really well. And I made some good calls in it. I told Hayley to captain Jesus.
Did she do that?
Yeah.
Get in.
I did say Eve Antoni and Brentford to beat United. Sorry,
there you go.
Dan,
he
was
there
in
you
earlier.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the official podcast the other day, I also told Mark Southerns I fancied Forest to beat West Ham.
Well, there we go.
So I've had a bit of a blinder. I also called my dad. I was sitting having breakfast with my dad this morning and I said, Dad, he said to me, he was off to Chelsea. He went, what do you reckon? And I went 2-2. Scoring draw, 2-2.
Yeah, yeah. You've had a few good shots. I'm expecting...
What is going on? I should have gone to the bookie tonight.
When we have a look at your team later on, I'm expecting an amazing week in FPL.
Because, Lee, what happens is...
You don't take your own advice.
I don't take my own advice.
Yeah. Hello, Josh De Silva. Let's say hello to a few other people. We've had a super chat from Kens. Hey, Kens. How are we doing, mate? Evening, guys. What a mad game week. It was. It already was a mad game
Brilliant,
week.
Brilliant, though, right? Brilliant.
Even things like, we'll discuss it, the Mitro penalty miss. You know, we've got
painful.
The Perisic coming on for assist. We've got the De Bruyne masterclass. We've got the Erling Haaland captaincy, but only had two touches the whole game, which is blows my mind, by the way. So, yes, Kens, mad game week. Congrats on the Sky Sports News appearance, Sam. Neto is going now for Aronson, and he's going to play Nico Williams next week and potentially save on
three
transfers.
Let's talk about him in a minute when we talk about Forest, because I thought Nico Williams... Oh, I've just bashed the mic. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
I thought Nico Williams had a fantastic game.
Yeah, he played really well, didn't he? Really well. Raheem Khan, who is a member of the FPL Family YouTube channel. Thank you, Raheem, for the comment. If you become a member, there's a little join button right next to the subscribe button on the FPL Family YouTube page. And if you want to become a member, you can get your chat message highlighted like Raheem does here. Every time we go live, Raheem is saying, please talk about Manchester. Raheem, a Liverpool fan.
We will.
Liverpool fan. Goldbridge was fuming. If you know, you know.
I love Goldbridge so much. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, as a neutral, I appreciate if you're a Man United fan, it must be quite painful to watch. But as somebody that's not a Man United fan, when Man United do something bad and you listen to Goldbridge, it's so funny.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. What are we saying here? Cy Burdett, yes, he said the video was gold. It was. Goldbridge was, he was absolutely fuming, and rightly so. In the same game week, by the way, that Henderson saving penalties for Forest.
Henderson, like he had a
Andreas
point to prove.
Andreas Pereira playing well for Fulham.
Lingard with an assist,
albeit fortuitous for Forest. There's something not right. Anyway.
We'll get there.
Let's get on to these games, Sam, and start talking about some of these games and what are the key talking points from FPL this week. Let's go straight to it. I want to get straight on with Chelsea 2, Spurs 2 and carry on the conversation that we were having there. Talk to me first about Spurs, then we'll get into Chelsea, because I think it is worth talking about both teams individually.
Definitely.
Because if you look now, and I did set this up before, the fixtures going forward, the next five for Chelsea read like this. It's Leeds, Leicester, Southampton, West Ham and Fulham. And it ain't too bad for Spurs either. It's Wolves, Forest, West Ham, Fulham, and then Manchester City in game week 7. So the next 4 for Spurs look pretty good. The next 5 look sensational for Chelsea. So here are 2 teams who were, I think, playing as a bit of a... It was a bit of an audition today, wasn't it, for our FPL teams. I don't have any Spurs or Chelsea, so prepared for my FPL rank to take a bit of a hit on the back of today's game, which it has done. More on that a bit later on.
Mostly Reece James that's caused that, right?
I think mostly Reece James and, of course, the Kane goal.
Well, he's only 17%.
But with those fixtures coming up, that was a good opportunity to scout both teams, right?
Yeah, and what was actually interesting is, I think, let's start with Spurs then, because you said that. From a Spurs perspective, I thought we started the first sort of 10 minutes or so, really high tempo, really pushing, and then it was almost like they suddenly turned around and went, oh, it's a bit hot, isn't it? And then all the momentum went, and Chelsea found a way to break us up, and they were moving in and out of the 3 at the back, 5 at the back, plugging the midfield when they needed to. They were the first to every ball, and it really frustrated Son and Kane and Kulusevski in particular. Those 3, very disconnected, and I said to you at one point,
service.
No, but I said
Chelsea
to you,
were dominating the midfield.
Yeah, and I said to you at one point, look where Kane is, and he was the most advanced player on the pitch, and that for me is telling, because Kane is never the most advanced player on the Spurs pitch. Always Son ahead of him, nearly always Kulusevski ahead of him as well. But Kulusevski and Son had dropped so deep in order to try and get the ball. They were basically playing on the edge of their own penalty box, which now Chelsea weren't doing enough with the ball. If they had a number 9 in that game, they'd have been out of sight. Because some of the balls they were early on, they were putting in some cracking balls, but they don't have the height in that box. So they were putting these balls in Sterling, and the defenders were dealing with them quite comfortably.
Yeah.
It was wave after wave after waves until the goal, which I thought was, it was just a quality goal. Nothing can be said about that. But Spurs,
the Koulibaly one.
Yeah, that's quality.
Potentially goal of the season. You can't underestimate how difficult a technique that is to cut across the ball like that. Yeah. And 99 times out of 100, he probably doesn't score that. And there was a lot of bits at halftime about the fact that Spurs just let him go. They give him too much space. Come on.
Well, you're not expecting him to do that, are you?
You're not expecting him to just like scythe across it there into the top corner. So I think it was a good goal.
When you're looking at Spurs from an FPL perspective, most FPL managers are going, right, how do I invest up top? How do I invest in the wing backs? I'm not sure that we're any clearer on either of those two things on the back end of this game.
That's my problem a little bit. Yeah.
Because Sessegnon, I thought, actually did quite well in this game. He was up against Reece James, which is always going to be a difficult place to be. But I thought he did quite well while he was on the pitch.
Yeah.
Then they took him off. And then that left poor old Ben Davis just absolutely dying on his own out that side, because he was just not able to cope.
That's how Reece James got the goal, I think.
Just
he got
how
overloaded
the goal
that
came,
side, right?
Yeah. Royale on the other side, I thought, had one of the worst games I've ever seen him have. He had a torrid match. And they were targeting him, which is why he was having a torrid game, probably, to give him the benefit of the doubt. But he still can't put in a cross, and that's a problem. So you're not investing in him. I hope Doherty plays against Wolves, but the fact that Doherty didn't even come on today means...
What do the Perisic owners do then?
Well, I think you hold, because for me, Perisic came on and he actually looked good.
Two chances created in 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Got the assist.
I think he looked well. He looked good. And I wonder whether... Like, they asked Conte at the end of the game, why didn't you start any of your new boys today? And he basically said... I went in with my strongest team.
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure that he went in with our strongest team. I think he went in with our strongest team from last season, and he went in with the team he knows and trusts. I think against Wolves, he'll go in with a slightly more experimental team, and I think we could see Perisic get his first start on that side. So I think if you are a Perisic owner, I would hold.
Yeah.
If you're not a Perisic owner, though, like you and I'm not sure I would invest yet. I think you've got to wait until he gets that start before you invest.
Yeah.
When it comes to the front three, and I said this in my Insta reaction, I think if you've got the money to go Kane or Son, that's where you invest, because those fixtures are really nice. We're not going to have, you know, the teams that we've got coming up, the likes of Wolves, the likes of Fulham, they aren't going to have the ability and the personnel to shift in and out of defensive systems and dominate the midfield in the way that Chelsea did today. They just don't have that in their locker. So Kane and Son will not... Well, Kane will be deeper, but Son and Kulusevski, they'll be in their normal positions. Kane will be going forward. So I think if you have the budget to go Kane and Son, you go Kane and Son. If you don't...
Do you go Kane and Son?
Not both. I won't go both. I'd invest in one. But you pick
one. Like Son's performance today?
Well, yeah, but he was played out of the game. I don't think you can judge Son's performance today because...
Reece James man-marked him out the
Because they man-marked him out the game, Chelsea. And yeah. the teams that we have... If we were coming up against Liverpool and Man City and teams like that next, I'd say don't invest. But when we're playing against Wolves next... You can...
Are you still as bullish about Kulusevski?
Yeah, I am.
Into next week? So you're going to bring him in?
Probably. That'll be my chance for probably, yeah. I'm waiting to see what happens in the Liverpool game tomorrow night because obviously I've got Luis Diaz in that 8 million bracket and I need to kind of just think through what I'm doing, which is why I'm not thinking about price transfer at the minute. Well, there was one moment yesterday where I was like, I'm a wild card. And then I changed my mind.
You were considering the wild card for a little bit, weren't
because
you?
Because then when I looked at it, I was like, I'm actually only really four players I want to change. So maybe I'm being too bullish with the wild card. Maybe I'll wait a week. But I think for me, I liked Kulusevski. What I particularly liked is that he didn't take him off. So when he was making all of these changes, he brought Richarlison on. He swapped out some for Perisic. So he was...
A few of you guys are saying that the stream has crashed in the chat. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to... Maybe we just try and restart the stream here. I do appreciate that the Wi-Fi is not great in here tonight. I don't know whether it's the heat or what it is. Paul's saying we're crashed, but we're back. Guys,
are we back?
Are we on? Are we off? Give us a sign in the chat as to whether we are...
Are we in? Are we out? Are we shaking it all about?
Whether we should stop or not. A few of you guys saying that we've crashed. Let's see. Let's just give it a minute or so. Go on. You can keep talking about Spurs for now, but we might have to restart the stream, guys.
The podcasters will still get it, won't they?
They should do, yeah. You guys saying it's back on.
You're back, okay.
We'll struggle on. Appreciate it's not great. The audio's okay. I think it's just the video.
Okay.
And the uploading of the video and the bandwidth from that. But
I'll keep talking then.
The audio's all right, so the podcasters are having a great time.
Okay, great stuff. That's good, because they're normally the ones that are having the raw end of it, aren't they? I think for me, I did see enough from them because Chelsea played really well. And I think that lends us into talking about Chelsea, because I don't really think you can judge Spurs necessarily today on that performance because we weren't allowed to play the Spurs way because Chelsea were brilliant tactically today. Tuchel got it absolutely spot on and he played us perfectly. And even as a Spurs fan sitting here, I would absolutely love to sit here and go, yep, we 100% deserved the draw. We did not. Chelsea deserved to win that game. Yeah. They played far better than we did. But I just do love the slight grit that Antonio Conte has brought into Spurs. Because two seasons ago, we would have given up.
That Spursy tag is definitely gone, isn't it?
Yeah, that Reece James goal, when that went in, that would have been the signal to collapse. That would have been like, oh. They'd have thrown their toys out the pram quietly. They wouldn't have actually had a strop. Yeah. And Spurs would have gone all Spursy. But today, there was fight and there was grit. And we kind of ground something out of the game, which we didn't really deserve. But from a Chelsea perspective, and I said this in my interactions for those of you who have listened to that, it was Cucurella, for me, that was the massive standout performance for Chelsea. I was so impressed with him.
He did a good job, didn't he? Yeah.
He did a great job defensively.
Do you think that you could bring him in instead of James in your FPL team? Or is this not an and, do you think?
Well, I'll be really brutally honest. I thought Reece James had a distinctly average game today.
Basically man-marked Son out of the game. He was the reason that...
But that meant from an FPL perspective, he was average.
Oh, from an FPL perspective? Because got the goal, right?
You know, yeah, but he got the goal. Why? Because we basically just left him. So from an FPL perspective, I was watching Reece James thinking, I'm not actually seeing anything from you because you're more playing as a centre-back here. You're cutting in a lot. Yes, there was a lot of lap over and he was going and Loftus-Cheek was coming in. But we weren't seeing that normal Reece James kind of, I'm getting to the byline and I'm throwing it in and I'm going to get assists every 5 minutes, attacking threat.
Yeah.
But we were seeing that from Cucurella on the other side. And I was thinking to myself, you know, is this because Reece James is playing against Spurs? And are we going to see Reece James against easier clubs go back to the wing-back position that we all know and love?
I would have thought so. Do you think the answer to that question is yes?
I do think the answer to that question is yes. But I'm also looking at my FPL budget thinking, it's a million less for Cucurella on the other side. Now, there's the Chilwell factor, which somewhat puts me off. Does that put you off with Cucurella?
A little bit, but it doesn't sound as if Chilwell's going to be fit anytime soon. My biggest challenge is that if I was to bring in Reece James now, I'd be losing probably one of my other big hitters that I quite like having. And that's the thing about big at the back at the moment. It is working, right? It is working. So you ain't going to lose Cancelo.
No.
You're probably not going to lose either of my Liverpool players right now, although that would be the one that I'd maybe have a look at.
But if you wanted to go Darwin...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's something to have a look at, because it would free up that Liverpool spot for me to do something differently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have got my eye on a Chelsea defender for this run-up, but I'm not at the moment. It could just be a straight swap for Trippier, for Kanchet, for Cucurella, but we'll look at the teams a bit later on anyway. G has sent a super chat. Thank you, G, for the super chat. He or she is asking, request Lee to sing Glory Glory Tottenham Hotspur. Not going to happen. Not going to happen, but G is quite rightly saying, come on, you Spurs. London is white. The Kane captaincy paid off. Well, that, my friend, is a very ballsy move to captain Kane. Do you regret in any way the Haaland to Kane, the Kane to Haaland switch, as what seemed like most of the community did this week? I mean, that is a talk about, you know, right decision, wrong outcome. I mean, in any other universe, Haaland does get some points against Bournemouth. Maybe Foden does square it to him rather than being greedy and then get hauled at half time. Naughty Phil. Pep not happy about that one. Mm. And maybe Kane, you know, maybe Kane's header goes 1 centimetre more to the right and it's a Reece James own goal and he just gets an assist. And then we're not having this narrative. But if you held on to Kane, fair play, because now you've got a decent upcoming run and you're probably going to stick with him.
It's hard to sit here and say I don't regret it, because obviously there is a bit of me that goes, oh, for goodness sake, like, isn't it just typical? But it's like I said on this stream last week when I made that change. The fact I'm a Spurs fan helps with that, because you know, obviously it got us the draw. But yeah, it is a bit frustrating, I must admit. Having said that, Kane's ownership is so low that it would have been a great differential pick, but it's not really, it's not massively harming ranking the same way that like the Reece James goal has. So yes, it's a bit frustrating, but no, I don't think I regret it, because I mean, the fact that, and maybe this is a good segue to go and talk about Manchester City, the fact that Pep hauls Foden at half time with a goal and an assist, because he doesn't pass, I mean, can't be pulling him off because he doesn't pass the ball to Haaland, surely.
Well, let's go to the City game then. It is a nice segue. Let's go to Man City 4, Bournemouth 0, which I think a lot of us, you know, I don't think too many of us are surprised by that scoreline. I think we all expected Man City
to go. Gundogan shout was a good one though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I said on the Ohana podcast on Friday for our patrons that, you know, Gundogan is one to look for. I think I asked you the question of who's going to break the template.
You did.
And you asked it back to me. I said, well, I think Gundogan, on the basis that if Bernardo Silva gets this move to Barcelona, which is still quite a big if from what I'm seeing on Twitter and in the news, I mean, whether Barcelona can...
They've allowed to be what's it, some of them, haven't they?
Yeah, then? It's like whether they got their financial levers and they can register players and all this sort of nonsense, right? But if Bernardo Silva does end up going to Barcelona, I think that makes Ilkay Gundogan, you know, a pretty key player for them going forward. Rodri's going to sit there and do the defensive dirty work that's going to allow Kevin De Bruyne and Gundogan to go forward. Now, don't get me wrong, not for a minute saying he's better choice than Kevin De Bruyne in the FPL team, but he's probably half the price of a Kevin De Bruyne, right? He's 7.5 compared to a 12 De Bruyne.
Yep.
And what we saw, maybe a bit less so in the Bournemouth game, and this is why I'm a bit reluctant to bring, to, you know, move Foden to Gundogan and save a bit of money right now. A bit reluctant to do that right now, because I don't think I've seen enough to prove my theory, which is that the wide players, be it Grealish or Mahrez or Foden, are tending to go quite wide and stretch that back line of the opposition to give Haaland more space.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing from the wingers, from Walker and from Cancelo, is they're coming in.
Yeah.
And creating havoc, especially Cancelo in that, with that number seven shirt, which I still can't get my head around. But it's also allowing those midfield runners to come through in the middle, like De Bruyne and like Gundogan. So I think Gundogan is a really nice pick. Really, really good at 7.5. But I don't know if I believe my theory. I need to see a bit more. And given that Foden got, you know, 45 minutes but still 9 points, and by the way, I actually really gutted to see him come off at half time, because not only did he I had him in my FPL team, right, and it was a big differential for me this week. I'm very happy to have him. Golden assist, and one where he probably should have scored or squared it to Haaland, and then he gets even more points. He got 9 points, but could easily have got double digits. And had he stayed on for a bit longer, would have done, and probably would have been more in the points. And maybe City would have scored more, and then he would have got some bonus as well. So I feel, as weird as this sounds, I feel a bit shortchanged by my 9 from Foden this week, because actually I feel like he could have got more. But anyway, I'm not in any mood right now to necessarily take Foden out, whether I believe Gundogan is a better pick or not. I think Foden looks okay.
I don't think you take Foden out ahead of the run of fixtures that they
have. Are you saying, though, about the rest of the City team? It's because the defensive double-up looks absolutely on. You're on it right now, and I know a lot of you guys are on Cancelo and Walker. they ain't conceding many goals like at all this season, are they? They look a proper
I must admit, I am absolutely loving the Edison Cancelo double up this year. Weirdly for me, I mean, I hate the defensive double ups, as you all know, but it feels different having a goalkeeper and a defender somehow. I don't know why. Maybe it's because they don't sit next to each other on the pitch as I'm looking at them. But I'm really, it's weird, isn't it, a thing to say, but I'm really enjoying the defensive double up at Man City. I never feel that there's much of a risk that the clean sheet is going to go. I mean, that would probably be different when they're playing against Liverpool or Spurs or Chelsea or Arsenal or teams like that. But even...
It just seems so solid.
They're solid. They're together. They work well as a unit. Cancelo, at every moment, looks like he's going to go on an adventure and register some attacking returns as well. They always seem to be in the bonus points then as well. So, you know, he's always the most... player with the most... And he probably is up there again, is he? Player with the touches in the final third...
Let's have a look at the Fantasy Football Scout members area. And yes, shock horror. Well, interestingly, the top five players for touches in the opponent's half were all Manchester City players. Walker, De Bruyne and Mahrez, Rodri. And then first, no surprise because he's there every single week, is João Cancelo. Kevin De Bruyne also top for crosses this weekend. Now, here's a player that doesn't spend a lot of time out wide, crossing from deep. So this is De Bruyne looking for Haaland early, right? He's looking to whip those balls in. You've got Foden and or Mahrez and Grealish, whoever plays wide. You know, they're almost kind of sacrificing their own game a little bit to create space for Haaland. This whole team is built around Haaland getting goals. You've got Pep hauling off one of their key players, Foden, for not passing him the ball, we think, right? There's a bit of rhetoric around
that.
Was
it a rest?
Or maybe it's a rest. Maybe they think the game's in the bag. Maybe it's Bournemouth.
I mean, it was.
Whatever, right? But still, maybe Pep did make a comment about the fact that, you know,
he did talk
Haaland
about
will
it.
Be there, and Phil Foden needs to change his game and get his head up because before we didn't have a number nine and you've got to take that
the
shot
fact
on.
He mentioned
but now,
it is telling.
Erling will be there, right? So it's on Pep's mind that was a thing. If you bought in Haaland for Kane this week, all right, Kane's got more points than Haaland this week. You ain't swapping back.
No.
You ain't swapping back. Haaland is going to absolutely rip this league to pieces. He's the one to have, in my opinion.
For me, the question is actually, because I think you're totally right, I don't think you're swapping back. So for me, the question is, do you wildcard in order to have two premiums up top? Because you now can't sell Jesus after that performance this week, and maybe as a segue into talking about Arsenal in a minute. But so you could feasibly want to have all three of them up top. It's very difficult. You've got to make real big sacrifices across the rest of your team. And I think... we have to wait and see what happens with Liverpool tomorrow night, because the only way you're realistically going to maybe get those is if you're prepared to sacrifice some of your Liverpool assets to do it. And I don't think we're going to want to do that either. So for me, but you're totally right in what you've just said. I took Manchester City yesterday and everything was looking at Haaland, and it was all these other players feeding into Haaland. Now, what does that mean to me as an FPL manager? Well, it means that I want Haaland, because these assisting guys are going to share the assists and maybe get some goals too, of course, because they will get in these positions as well.
The whole team is
built
around his
success.
The whole
team is built to look for him, right? Yeah. Now, at Spurs, that's not the same. The whole team is not built to look for Harry Kane. The whole team at Spurs, it's a unit working together to go forward, and it will... 99% of the time end up being Kane looking for Son, looking for Kulusevski, or going on a big run himself.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I know a few of you in the chat saying we crashed again for a bit. We're back again
for a bit.
It's really flaky here this evening, and I'm pretty sure I know the reason. I'm pretty sure it's bandwidth and it's internet. So thanks for sticking with us. We will... a few of you guys are saying the audio is still good. So
okay, we'll keep talking then.
While you can still hear us, despite the video being a bit crap, we will crack on.
We will persevere.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think...
Last word on City before we move to Jesus, because we've got to have that conversation.
Yeah, well, I mean, so for me, I think if you've got the defensive double up at Manchester City already, stick with it.
Yeah.
And if that means you're missing out on the City midfielders, but you've got Haaland, I think that's a better route, and have Haaland as the forward... and invest in Spurs elsewhere, or invest in Liverpool elsewhere in the middle instead.
Yeah. If anything, I'm upset that I can't have four City, because I'd have Haaland, Foden, I'd have Cancelo, I'd have Walker at 5 million.
Do you know what I'm also a bit upset about this year? They're kind of four forwards, and I've said that for years.
Yeah,
it's been years and years since I've thought, oh, there's four forwards in the game that I would really like to own. There's actually five forwards in the game right now that... I've just kicked my water bottle over. There's actually five forwards in the game currently that I would really like to have in my FPL team, and I can't.
Well, one you definitely want to have that was actually sold quite, I wouldn't say heavily.
The third most heavily sold player.
Oh, okay. So fairly heavily, Jesus was sold ahead of game week two. We've got to talk about this guy. Before we do, a big welcome to the FPL family community for Clinton. Thank you, Clinton, for becoming a member of the FPL family YouTube community. Thank you, mate. Really, really appreciate your support on the stream. Tell us about your thoughts on Gabriel Jesus then. So we had G in here earlier super chatting saying London is white.
Yes, it is.
I'm not sure about that at the
moment. London is white.
North London is feeling very red.
No, it's not.
Because they are playing exceptionally well. You've got to hand it to them, right? Gabriel Jesus.
You wait for the North London derby.
Gabriel Jesus has really ignited something in Arsenal. Now, listen, no FPL points for Jesus last week. But those of us that watched the game, and I think we sat here this time last week and said, look, if you watch the game, he was dead. He was looking pretty lively and he looked very handy and he was unlucky not to get FPL points. So don't panic. You've got to keep him. And here we are, 19 points, 2 goals, 2 assists, 3 bonus points, top for BPS in the game week. Absolutely sensational. I tweeted actually during
the... screenshot of something about him as well.
I tweeted yesterday to say, it pains me a little bit because I really want Darwin in my team. I really want Darwin. I think he's got the potential to really mess up the template and become a good differential for me and for others. But the only way I'd do that is to get rid of Jesus. And there is no way I'm getting rid of Jesus. Let's just quickly, while you're looking at your phone, have a look at these fixtures.
Just want to find that stat.
The fixtures coming up for Jesus and Arsenal are Bournemouth, Fulham, Villa, Manchester United, which, as you can see on the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, is not a blue fixture, but I have to say it's looking very blue at the minute. And then Everton at home. The next 5 look so good for Jesus. Talk me through where in that run, if at all, you might captain Gabriel Jesus. Is he a viable captaincy option now as well?
Yeah, I think he is a viable captaincy option. I think, you know, over the last couple of seasons, and we're watching the Arsenal
All or Nothing documentary
at the moment. And one of the things that we kind of talked about as we were watching it is that they've been lacking a forward for a while. They obviously had all the issues with Aubameyang. They had issues with Lacazette. They've both gone now. And in place, they've got Jesus, who has always been a very, very good Premier League forward, but never got enough minutes at Manchester City because of the way that they played the game, and therefore was never really an FPL option. So sometimes when Lukaku arrived last season in the Premier League at Chelsea, you had those moments where you kind of like, well, should I invest? But new to the Premier League, I know he played in it before, but newly back to the league, it was an adaption thing. I never felt that Jesus would need time to adapt because he's been here all the time, right? So, but I think what he has done is he has unlocked the potential that Arsenal have had.
Would you captain him, though? That's my question. Would you captain him, or are you still very much in the Haaland and Salah camp?
Well, no, because that, you know, if you look at over the next few weeks, like I arguably, well,
what about next game week then? So that was what I was about to say. It's game week 3, right? So you've got Bournemouth, you've got Haaland away at Newcastle, who have been reasonably watertight so far, Newcastle. Salah's going to Manchester United, so we'll have that conversation in a minute. But what about Jesus away at Bournemouth?
Well, yeah, it's him or a Spurs player, I think.
Okay.
For me. Spurs have got Wolves at home. Arsenal have got Bournemouth.
I wouldn't captain a Spurs player over Jesus right now. He's just got 19 points. He's absolutely on fire.
He is on fire. He is on fire. Absolutely, he is on fire. So I think it's a viable option. I mean, I think, for me, I'm looking no further than Salah against Man United right now.
What else are you saying about Arsenal then? So very, very good performance from Arteta's boys. And Jesus gets all of the headlines. Don't worry about the stat.
It's a really good one. I'm annoyed I can't find it.
We've got all of the headlines for Gabriel Jesus. But what about Gabby Martinelli as well? Again, not in your team still.
No.
Any thoughts to bring him in?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's playing well at the moment. Yes, absolutely. Arsenal playing well at the moment. Yes, absolutely. It's not like I'm ruling bringing him out. But at the moment, we aren't, like, I'm not making any decisions before this game week has ended. Like, for me, the key match of this game week, weirdly, is the Liverpool game tomorrow. Because what I decide to do with Liverpool moving forward is going to be pivotal for what I do with the rest of my team. Because I've got quite a lot of flags.
Right, okay.
At the moment.
Is Matty Cash injured?
Matty Cash has got a flag. Pereira's got a flag.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Obviously, I've got Bailey-shaped issues as well. I've got Rashford-shaped issues as well. Right. So I'm
smelling like a wild card to me.
it's not the four positions. The rest of it, I don't feel the need to change too much. But I'm also looking at, like, I'm looking at Rodrigo at Leeds, thinking if Bamford's out for a while, which it looks like he might be, given he went off in that game early.
Could be. Yeah, could
I mean,
be.
he's got two hauls in the last 2 weeks. He's been brilliant to start the season. So I think Martinelli is a great option. I haven't ruled out bringing him in this week. He could yet be my transfer in this week for Rashford. That could easily happen. And probably is the obvious transfer I'll make. But I need to see about these injured players first as well, because I might have to deal with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Martinelli is proving himself to be a really great FPL option. And I don't think there's much more that you can say about that. But I also don't necessarily think that he is a priority.
Yeah, obviously got the goal, but also noticed again in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, joint second for chances created in the game week as well with four, joint with the likes of Tony and Harrison. So again, he's getting some assists. His XA has got to be pretty high as well as his XG, right? So Martinelli, I think, absolutely the best option in that price bracket, no question. What are we saying about the Arsenal defence? Bit of a concern that they conceded the two here, or was it just... I mean, I looked at the XG stats for Leicester, very low XG in that game, and then I watched the highlights. Ramsdale doesn't cover himself in glory, I don't think, particularly with the James Maddison goal. How Maddison scores from that angle, that's why it's so low XG, because the angle is so acute, and Ramsdale shouldn't really be letting that in. And Saliba with the own goal as well. A lot of people, there was a bit of a transfer in move towards Saliba because he had such a good game week one and he was only 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's panic stations on the Arsenal defence, do you? I mean, the fixtures look good going forward.
They do. Would you be buying an Arsenal defender?
I would potentially have a look at somebody like a Saliba or a Zinchenko if it meant freeing up some money that I needed to do something else. Yeah, if it was a means to an end, potentially.
Yeah.
But I think there's too many other good
big-at-the-back
options. Would you go right now for Saliba or Zinchenko over Cucurella? That's a conversation to be had, but I still think you would... I still don't think Trent and Cancelo will be going anywhere.
No.
Then you've probably got space for one or two other big ones, and one of them's probably Reece James on the back of today. So it's difficult all of a sudden to start. And again, Nico Williams, who I thought had a great game for Forest, by
Phenomenal.
The way, on set pieces, also has the number 7 shirt in the same way that Cancelo does, passed the eye test massively in terms of his creativity for Forest today. I think you lock him in at 4.0 as well, because he's great, great value.
Yeah.
So is there space then for the conversation around the 4.5 midfield area in Salibas and...
Defenders.
With the defenders. I find it difficult.
See, the thing is, as a Matt Cash owner, I am looking potentially at going down and up, because I quite like the idea of having two cheap options and then having sort of my two premiums plus I've got Trippier still.
Yeah, okay.
So I am sort of looking at another 4.5, freeing up 0.5 out of the cash. So maybe Arsenal wants to have a look at. I mean, it's Bournemouth next, but Bournemouth at home looked really good in game week one.
All right.
So yeah, let's right. see. I mean, do we trust? So I think with the Arsenal defence, I know that game week one showed one side in terms of attacking threat from them, with Zinchenko in particular. But I think you're kind of looking at them going, there looks like there's going to be some clean sheets over the next few weeks because the fixtures are nice. So you'd be investing for clean sheet potential more than anything else, and therefore go in as cheap as you can, would be my thinking on the defence.
Okay. All right, let's talk about a couple of the other big talking points then. So Villa, because a lot of us have got Bailey, right? And there was a lot of Steven Gerrard bigging up Bailey
pre-game
week and then benching him, right?
So
what is going on here in particular... The goal for Everton that got scored right at the death, I think, again, was a bit of a dagger to the heart for anybody that's got Luca Dina in particular, because it's an own goal, but also for you as a cash owner, other cash owners.
That game for me was a nightmare.
Just a difficult one to accept, wasn't it,
It was a horrible game to watch.
But what was interesting for me to see when I was watching the game and when I saw the highlights on Match of the Day was the difference that Ollie Watkins made, right? Just having him and Ings up front...
It was much better.
...did give... Everton something to think about, because Everton have suddenly got half decent defence. They've got Tarkowski in there and Cody, so it's looking, you know, they'll take some time to gel, but it's looking half decent. But when Villa played with two up top, they looked far more dangerous, and Watkins in particular had quite a high XG, probably could have done better with a couple of finishes, but comes up with a couple of assists as well. So what does that say to me? That says to me, well, Stevie probably should be going with the two up front a bit more on the regular. And he's pretty emotionally tied to Phil Coutinho, who hasn't had the best start to the season,
but
by the way.
But did go off injured.
Possibly did go off injured, so that's one to monitor. So in my head, I'm like, well, where does Bailey fit in this rhetoric then? Because Buendia got, you know, a goal
Buendia,
as well, right?
I must say, Buendia impressed
starting
me.
To worry, are you starting to worry a bit about Bailey?
I'm just annoyed by Bailey.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed by Bailey because, particularly this week, because I benched him right up until Friday's press conferences. I'd benched him.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know, I'm going to bench Bailey.
Where'd you go with him though? That's, he's 5 million. So where do you take him? Unless you want to take him down to Pereira, which a lot of us have got anyway, or a Josh De Silva, who's already had a price ride at 4-6.
Well, so again, this goes back to what I was sort of hinting at before, doesn't it? In terms of, do you change your team structure up? Because for me, the forwards continue to catch my eye. Even the cheaper forwards, the likes of Ivan Toney, really catching my eye and really making me regret my life choices not to go with him. I had him all pre-season until game week one, and I swapped him out because I changed my budget options around. And I'm still annoyed about not having Toney. And I'm looking at Brentford's fixtures, thinking, I would really like to be able to get Sam Greenwood to even Toney. Now, that means shifting around the way that my team is working. I can take some money out of cash. And if I take Bailey down to somebody like Josh De Silva and have two 4.5 million midfielders, which in the past feels a ludicrous thing to do.
It feels a bit, if you go with your price points rhetoric, it still feels a little bit risky.
It may be.
But nowhere to go with those two then, have you?
No, but equally, do I need anywhere to go with them if they're benching options, particularly before wildcard? Like if I take
him
down,
Josh De Silva as an option? I mean, at 4-6, you've got to love him, right? But very low XG from the weekend. Very fortuitous goal because David De Gea saves that 99 times out of 100.
And I'm slightly worried about their new signing.
And you've got Mikael Damsgaard is his name, I think, isn't it? It's coming, he's going to take minutes from him. So I'm not rushing to
I've got
Silver.
Sam Greenwood there anyway, sitting on my bench. Yeah, so I'm just talking about changing my bench position. So you've got to look at it in a... And it feels a bit alien because I'm trying to take some money potentially out of the middle. Or the other option is you try and invest a little bit more in Bailey's position because there are a few as you get a little bit higher up in that price bracket that look like you might be able to invest there. So I don't know, but Bailey continues to be a bit of a thorn in my side.
Yeah, same with him.
And the fact that he came on and kept Trippier's points on the bench, I mean, honest to God, it's so frustrating. And only then for Luka Dean to score an own goal. Now, thank goodness I didn't have him, but it wiped out Matt Cash's clean sheet. And I was like, what is this game?
I don't think Bailey owners would have done anything differently, right? I mean, I was the same as you.
I
played Bailey, but if Stevie comes out in the press conference and says some really nice things like he did, I think you've got to go with Bailey, particularly away at Everton, at home to Everton, who, you know,
Everton
struggled a little bit, etc. And that clean sheet, it should have come, right? It should have come. There's no, like, Onana didn't really do a lot during that game. In fact, he was at fault, I think, for one of the goals, from what I can remember in the Match of the Day highlights. But the way that he kind of bombed forward for that Everton goal and almost like bundled it into, you know, he just bundled his way to the byline, got it across, and Dina just got his body shape all wrong. It was a bit of a fortuitous goal for Everton. But my point is that even with that one goal, I don't see Everton all of a sudden, being goal machines. And I think Anthony Gordon, who had one ruled out for offside in the first half, is garnering interest from Chelsea as well. I think
Chelsea
have been linked with him. As Kenz is saying, thank you, Kenz, for the super chat. Apparently Chelsea are keen on Gordon from Everton.
I think a lot of people are
keen. So if he goes, then, you know, maybe Everton have got even less firepower up there until Dominic Calvert-Lewin comes back. What other results, generally do we need to talk about? I think it is worth just discussing Brentford versus Manchester United just briefly. I know the Man United fans won't thank me for that. Two reasons I want to discuss that. One is because if you look at the Brentford fixtures going forward, and this plays a little bit to your Toney narrative and a little bit into the Josh De Silva narrative, which is the fixtures coming up for Brentford look sensational. Now, Fulham away, actually on paper, is reasonably difficult game, I would suggest. Everton Palace away, which is also difficult. Leeds, Southampton. Nevertheless, if you sort by difficulty over the next five fixtures, according to the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker, they are right up there at the top. And they've started like a house on fire. This result for them against United was historic, right? This is a big, big result in the history of Brentford Football Club.
They look like a team that could score at any given moment. Oh, the cat's saying hi.
Is the door open?
The door is open because it's hotter than the sun in here, Lee.
The cat is hot as well.
It's hotter than the sun. The cat is
hot. He's hot down there, Harry. He's hot, isn't he?
Come here.
Yeah, he's not happy.
Here he is.
He's not happy.
Meet Harry.
That is one hot cat.
Go on, cat.
Go on, get out of here.
You go down there.
Get out of here.
He's like, don't pick me up again, I'm hot.
Zoom are not about, is he? No good.
Nobody kicks the cats in this house. Thank you very much. I'll kick you if you kick my cat.
I'm not saying, I was just saying it's Kurt Zuma around.
I don't kick any cats. He's never kicked the cat. Kurt Zuma's not invited into this house. It's a disgrace.
Definitely not.
I think with Brentford, they could score at any minute. Every time they get the... And, all right, Manchester United were... They were terrible defensively.
Yeah, can we just caveat this with, you know, you can't make statements like Brentford could score any minute. I mean, yes, against Manchester United at home at the
weekend.
Brentford
looked great last week as well. The last two game weeks that they've played, they look fantastic. Now, they did start the season last year incredibly well as well. So, let's see. But I think, for me, watching Brentford, at the price points that the Brentford players come into the game at, because this is the other thing we should remember, we're not talking about investing loads of money. We're talking about investing reasonably low-level pots of FPL budget.
Yeah,
they look like great options. Manchester United, on the other hand, mass exodus.
Yeah,
just,
massively.
Just
massively.
Sell.
Yeah, yeah. Just before you go on to talk about Manchester United, thank you, Angelo Davies. Welcome, Angelo, to the FPL Family YouTube membership channel. So thank you very much for supporting us, Angelo. And as usual, for all of you that want to join us as members, you get all of your comments highlighted in the chat. So Angelo, if you want to post a team,
welcome.
If you want to make a comment, you'll get it automatically highlighted. Like Cyber Debt there, the midfield master, Jack Colback, like Duncan Crawford that you can see in the chat. All of you guys, thank you very much for your support.
Have we classified that Size changed his name because he lost another bet?
We haven't been through that yet, but maybe we'll do that if we've got time towards the end. And also Scott Schrager, the OG. Thank you, Scott Schrager, for joining us here on the FPL Family YouTube channel. Scott, I know you're a patron supporter for us as well, so mate, really, really appreciate the support that we get from Scott and some of you guys. It's absolutely ridiculous that you do that as well. So Scott, thank you very much there for joining us here on the FPL Family YouTube membership channel. Go on then, lay into Manchester United. Let's get it. Let's do it.
I mean, I genuinely don't know what to say. Because
they were dreadful.
They were
absolutely
awful.
Dreadful.
And I still don't really understand. Like, I watched that game. They were awful. They didn't look like they were interested. They were moping around from the very beginning. They're arguing with each other. They're blaming each other. Ten Hag looks desperate already. And I said to you at the end of the game when we were chatting about it, I was like, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and what is he called? The other manager, Ragnick?
Ragnick.
Always call him Ragnick, and that's not right. No. Ragnick. They got a lot of slack for what happened at their times in charge. But things aren't any different now.
No.
And so, whilst the players have got to take some accountability, they've got to stand up. These are good players. But there is something wrong there.
So let's talk FPL then, because, you know, genuinely, I don't think any of us are thinking about bringing any United in, especially ahead of Liverpool.
No.
A lot of people have got Rashford. There's some Dallows out there. What are we doing with these players? Well, I know that you're thinking of selling, but where are you going is the more pertinent question, I'd suggest.
So that's why I haven't done it yet. So Rashford took a price drop last night. And at that point, I was thinking, oh, I'll just go Martinelli. And he took a price rise last night. So it's cost me 0.2 by not acting last night.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to act last night because I've got so many flags on my team. I just wanted to see what happened. And what I didn't want to have is to be making rash decisions in case I want to go somewhere else at the same time.
Yes.
So I'm not opposed to a -4 this week. I'm still not 100% opposed to a wild card, but something drastic would have to happen in that Liverpool game. Like if, touch wood and say it quietly because you might be upset. If something happens to Salah or Trent in that game, I think I'll wild card. Because
right.
I'm on the fence with it. But I think with four players wanting to change, it's not enough. If I'm 5-6 players, I want to change.
So where would you go with Rashford then? You'd go to Martinelli.
So Martinelli, probably.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, I've got Cash with an injury doubt.
Yeah.
I've got Bailey getting benched all the time. I've got Pereira with an injury doubt. Rashford's going to play.
Yeah.
So I got to think about what I'm doing before I do it, which is why I haven't done it yet. But yeah, the obvious move is to go to Martinelli, but there are other options. I mean,
who are the other options?
I really like Jack Harrison at Leeds.
Yeah.
I also really like, and I mentioned this already, I really like Rodrigo at Leeds. I'm a bit of a Leeds bandwagon going on here.
Well, listen, they're playing all right.
But they're playing well, and with Bamford potentially injured, I think that will help Rodrigo's form. He's been really good starting the season. So I'm looking
third
at them too.
Third overall BPS this game week, Rodrigo.
I'm looking
just behind Jesus and De Bruyne.
Looking at them too, thinking they could be nice options. I'm also kind of pondering on, well, do I just take him right down? Because if I take him right down, I've got more money and that can allow me to go up at Tony.
Yeah,
so there's all of that kind of thing that's playing out in the air, which is why I've waited and not done the straight away. I'm just doing it like I did last night.
Yeah. One thing I did notice actually, as I was watching the game, I did think that Ronaldo was taking quite a lot of like pop shots, like shots out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, sort of like shots out of frustration. And actually, when I delved into the stats, that was proven to be correct. So he was second across the whole game week for shots, right? They lost 4-0, but he was second for shots. So top was Jesus. No surprise there, right?
Yeah.
But second was Ronaldo with 6 shots this game week. So more than Rodrigo.
6 shots.
Interestingly, Nico Williams was third, interestingly, and De Bruyne as well in there. But Ronaldo was second, 6 shots.
Didn't have any good ones.
Well, this is it, because then when you actually look at it, you'd think, well, with 6 shots and no goals, he'd be somewhere in the top 10 XG underachievers, wouldn't you? No, not anywhere near it. So what does that say? That says that Ronaldo is getting a lot of the ball and just shooting. Because he's out of frustration or looking at the rest of his team and thinking, no one's making any moves for me. I'm just going to just have a shot here. And I'm afraid that says a lot about the mentality at the club. I, for one, and listen, I'm obviously going to have my red goggles on here a little bit, but I am without question, captaining Salah right now. Assuming he gets through the game tomorrow, Salah at home to, no, at Old Trafford. We saw what he did there last season.
2 double-digit hauls.
And if United, you know, they really suffered United because you can see that Ten Hag is trying to get them to play out from the back. That's what he wants them to do. And they can't do it.
No,
they can't do it. Brentford just smelt blood. And on a day where it was a bit hot, all that it meant was for Brentford to just put in a little bit of effort and for some of the players from midfield to come and close down Eriksen, close down Lisandro Martinez, close down Maguire. Mm. And these players were losing the ball. Now, I'm not saying that it was all their fault. De Gea had a massive part to play, not just in the first goal, which he should have saved, but the second one. Criminal. What he's doing is criminal. He should not be playing it to Eriksen there, right? He should be putting it wide. But the point is, there was at least 2 goals there, and there were other big chances that were conceded by Manchester United because they tried to play out from the back and they couldn't because of the press from the other team.
Yeah.
There is no team better than us in the league that does that, right? Yeah. From goal kicks, opposition goal kicks. So have a look at Salah for next week. I honestly think it. And a few of you, I know Angelo Davis is in, he's saying triple captain Salah next week. I mean, I'm not thinking of that, but right now, unless there's any major changes in the
United,
way I'm thinking.
Isn't it?
It's at United, yeah, that doesn't put me off at all. If
are they going to walk out again, did you say? Wasn't there some rhetoric that the fans were going to walk out again?
There's something lurking in the press about there's going to be some walkout. Look, I'm not going to...
I mean, if that happens,
not
then
fan
that,
any
that
here,
will...
Right?
That will. I think, for
there's
me...
There's a bit of a protest planned or something, I don't know.
I think, for me, the key with Man United is you're definitely not investing. And if you do have them, you're moving them on.
Yeah.
The question is, how do you move them on? I think if you've got Dalot, it's really easy. There's loads of other 4.5 midfielders that you go to. If you've got defenders you go to, there's loads of them. If you've got Rashford, it's slightly more of a conversation. You either go almost a straight swap now to Martinelli, or you look to either take him up slightly, or you back end him and take him right down, and then use that money to invest somewhere else instead, either in big or the back or big up top.
Yeah, okay. Interesting game, that one, Brentford United. There was a lot of...
But not surprising.
We learnt a lot, I think. And that's what we're doing. We're still game week 2, guys. 36 game weeks still to go. We are in game week 2. Overall rank doesn't matter. All that we're really doing is just gathering information. And we gathered a lot of information about these two clubs, I think, in that game. Sam, just before we talk about our teams, a quick shout out for our patron. Thank you to everybody that's joined us over on patreon.com/ FPL family. Lots of new patrons over the last week or so, particularly at the $5 manager of the month tier. So thank you, everybody that's joined us over there. And I also put together the end of game week 1 manager of the month competition. So Dominic was up top on 94 points. 94 in game week 1, by the way. Oof, so good. Scott, who we just mentioned before, is one of our original patrons, actually. I think maybe even the first one ever, Scott, to join us over on Patreon.
He's won it as well.
I think he has won one as well. He has won one in previous seasons. Scott came in with 84 and Nick also came in with 84. So a cracking start for these three guys in our August Manager of the Month at the end of game week 1. Now, what I'll do after the Liverpool game, as I always do every week, is total up the scores, add game week 1 and game week 2 together in my little spreadsheet that I do offline because we're not allowed to use the mini leagues on FPL.
Because it's a competition.
Because it's a competition, effectively, where you guys pay for Patreon to enter it, so we're not allowed to use the mini leagues. But I manage it all offline and I do regular updates in the Slack and on Patreon. And you get your name in lights here on a Sunday night when you have done particularly well, like Dominic and Scott and Nick. So there we go. Quick shout out for our Patreon. We've got the $3, $5 and $10 tiers. If you want to go and support us over there, if you want to just a little bit more Lee and Sam in your life outside of these Sunday night live streams, which will always be free for all of you guys, then head over to patreon.com/ FPL family and check out the links in the description below. Sam, let's do, why don't we do my team first? So here's my team for the week. Still three to play.
It's at the top. top million.
Doing all right. Yeah, doing all right. So I'm having a good start to the season. So I've got Salah and Trent and Robertson still to play. Foden was a massive differential for me. Like I say, I know it's going to sound really ungrateful for those 9 points, but getting hold off at half-time when he could have got some more, I think, in the second half was frustrating. As was, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you will be in this situation, the Trippier and the Nico points on the bench. Could I maybe have played one of them over Bailey? I don't think I was ever going to play Nico.
No, I don't think you can be annoyed about Nico Williams. But
Trippier and Bailey definitely was a decision. But listen, you know, Cancelo with 11, I mean, you get what you pay for with him. It's just like...
He's great.
He was amazing. Got an assist.
If you haven't got him, just find a way. Like, I know that there was a bit of a Cancelo out thing at the beginning of the season. He was expensive and stuff. But I think we've learned enough in these opening two game weeks about Cancelo. He's a bonus point magnet. He's going to get attacking returns. They're really good with clean sheets. Yes, you can save $2 million on Walker. But just having both.
Yeah, really, really good. Really good. And, of course, Martinelli popping up with the goal as well. And Jesus, glad to have him. I don't regret the Haaland captaincy. You know, it was the obvious choice, I think. You know, of course, I could sit here now and say, yeah, of course I would have preferred to have gone Salah, given that Haaland's only got 5 points. But at home to Bournemouth, they won 4-0. It was the right decision, wrong outcome. Same as Kane in the first week, right? Spurs score 4 and he gets just an assist. That's how FPL works, folks. If you're new to FPL, that is how the game works, right? You transfer Kane out for Haaland and the opposite happens in game week two. But nevertheless, a very, you know, I would say, I was going to say a solid start. Well, a pretty good start to the season, right? 524K. I was up in the 200 and something rank, 200K odd rank before the Spurs game. So the Spurs game with James and with Kane and a few others definitely pushed me down a little bit. But Robbo is still quite low ownership in FPL. So Trent and Salah, more or less, you know, whatever happens, happens. But if Robbo was to get something, might just bump me up a little bit more to maybe 400 or 300. So overall, very happy with the start to the season. Got two free transfers, which I'll talk about in just a second in terms of how I'm getting on. But overall, pretty happy with the start of the season. How's your team looking?
Yeah, all right, actually. You know, I think...
You can see the flags. The flags are a bit of a concern.
The flags are a concern. The benchings is... I mean, unlike you, I was very, very, very close to captaining Salah. In fact, it was on Salah until...
Yeah, what made you change your mind?
Salah's game week two stats. So actually, Salah has only ever performed... Only ever returned once in game week two. And I know that's a stupid thing. But I was looking at these two players and there was nothing in it. And I was like, I've got to find something that's going to tell me which way to go on this. Because I've got two players, both in good form, both with good fixtures. Where do I go? And the only thing that I could come up with that was any different between the two of them was that one thing. And it just was enough to just go, okay, maybe I'll just go with Haaland instead then.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine.
I'm not overly annoyed about it. I'm more annoyed about the Trippier benching because he was on my team all week. And Friday night, I panicked. And actually, when you look at my Sky team, if you watch Sky, it was on the field for that. Because I changed it so late on Friday evening that I'd already sent my team to Sky. And I'm still annoyed that I did that. And I did it only on Steven Gerrard's comments on Bailey. Had I not listened to the press conferences on Friday, I'd have benched Bailey. And it would have been the right thing to have done.
But I benched him because I had Sanchez in goal and I didn't fancy the 0-0.
You see?
Shock horror.
Right? I mean, it's just a frustration, right? But we are where we are. I think I've got Luis Diaz is my differential tomorrow night.
Yeah, nice dip to have, I would suggest.
If Luis Diaz does well tomorrow night, that will really, really help. Because if he gets a goal, that's going to massively inflate my rank. So I will be watching Luis Diaz on your phone tomorrow night. Very much hoping for a return from him. But I'm actually fine with the way things are. I've got some issues with my team because, as you can see, there's those two flags. I'm not too worried about Pereira. Cash could easily come down.
I think I saw some comments about it's not that serious or he should be fine, Pereira. I mean, keep an eye on it, but I think he'd be okay.
If I've got to bench him, it's fine. It just means that I don't want to have. I'm not sure I would want to play Trippier against Man City next week either. So
yes, he's currently on my bench. Yeah. We're looking at bus teams in a sec.
Yeah, so I'm. You know, there's a lot of things that kind of need to come out. In the wash, and we need to see where people are towards the back end of the week.
Jesus 19 is unreal, by the way.
He's great, isn't it?
Jeff definitely is a captaincy option, I think, for game week three.
I think he is too.
It's probably Salah for me based on what we saw at Brentford, but
I think there's a fair few.
He could definitely be there.
I think Jesus is a good captaincy option. The Liverpool attack are good captaincy options next week. And I think the Spurs attack are good captaincy options next week. And if you're going to captain anyone like Jesus or one of the Spurs players, they're probably going to be a really nice differential captain because most people are going to go to Salah.
Yeah. I don't think that needs... I know you were... I don't know whether you were really thinking about it, but you were maybe considering the wild card.
I was annoyed, if I'm honest.
It was the Villa, Villa conceding. You were just like, right, I'm wild carded.
Villa infuriated. Thankfully, we didn't properly watch that game because we had our friends over for a barbecue. So I just had it on in the background. And honestly, I'm glad they were here because I was raging when that cash clean sheet went. And I was glad they
imagine
were here.
Imagine the thing you were
like, well, exactly. Because at one point, Lee was trying to wind me up and he went, oh, I think it might be a cash own goal. And I was like, honestly, I'd delete my team.
I saw it as a fallback, bundle it in. I was like, is it cash? Please.
He's just winding me up. But yeah, that Villa game really annoyed me. And then, of course, there was the slight knock to Pereira. And then there was the Bailey thing. And then there was Rashford. And I was like, right. By the end of Saturday, I was like, poof, wild card.
Yeah.
And then I was like, actually, when I sat down and really looked at it, I was like, there's only four players I'd actually really want to change in that team. I still think there's some really good picks in there. And I think the thing that's putting me off and worrying me about doing Rashford to Martinelli is I won't have any Spurs, and I really, really need a Spurs. But I feel like the next few games are going to be big for Spurs, and I want to be invested.
Game week three was, as I said at the beginning of the stream, definitely I was looking, right, so I want to save... But this goes all the way back to the summer in why I had Haaland in game week one, was I want to get to game week three with at least two transfers because Spurs and Chelsea, fixture swing. And they play in game week two, so I'm going to scout that game and I know exactly who to have.
I'm not sure
I don't know if I do, I think I've got more of an idea.
Do at Chelsea, you're either going Cucurella or Reece James.
Well, let's talk about our bus teams then and talk about where you might make transfers then going into game week three. What are we saying?
So that's what
Rashford, you've got to deal with Rashford, I think.
So Rashford's the priority to deal with. But as you can see, there's issues there because I don't want to play Trippier against Manchester City. Really, if I can help it. I'm happy with him being the first bench option. That's fine. I need news on Matt Cash. If Matt Cash is okay, then I'm sort of happy-ish to keep him on the bench. That's fine. Greenwood's not really going to get many minutes. So I don't... He's got to be there. But if Pereira's not fit and Bailey might not start, I've then got issues that I've got to deal with ahead of Rashford.
Yeah.
So this is why I haven't done the Rashford thing yet. Martinelli probably will happen this week. I'm not opposed to a -4. In order to get myself a Spurs player as well. Have got some money in the bank.
Okay.
But annoyingly...
How much in the bank?
$1 million.
Okay.
But annoyingly, that's not enough. So if I go... The thing I was looking at before I came on here was going Rashford to Martinelli and Bailey to Rodrigo.
All right. Just for the podcast listeners, by the way.
Podders.
You have Edison and Cancelo at the back and then Trent and Nico Williams, who, by the way, we're both starting in our bus team. 100%
starting
him. You've got Salah, Andreas Pereira, Luis Diaz, Rashford and Bailey in midfield, and then Haaland and Jesus up front, currently benching Trippier and Cash, and of course Greenwood. So I think you're right. I don't think that needs a wild card at all, but I could see where you might spend -4.
There's going to be a -4.
I can see it.
I'm 100% -4 in this week. The
question is... Which, by the way,
is
about a million places at the minute.
Wonderful. I'll be back where I started. But that's fine, because I feel like I feel like a -4 will improve my team because I'm looking at Rashford thinking you're not going to get me 4 points. And I'm looking at Bailey thinking I think it's unlikely you're going to get me 4 points this week. So there are issues there that need dealing with. A -4 is enough to deal with them. The question is, what do I want to do? Because the other thing is, if Luis Diaz doesn't impress me, if Darwin starts and suddenly we get a deep Luis Diaz that's not anywhere near attacking, which I'm hoping we're not getting tomorrow, but if that does happen, then maybe actually I go Rashford to Martinelli and I go Luis Diaz to Kulusevski.
Okay.
That's the other option.
All right, very good. Well, here's my team, just in case you are listening on the podcast. So I've got Ward in goal, Trent and Robertson at the back, Cancelo and again, Nico Williams, as we suggested. Salah, Foden, Martinelli, Andreas in the middle, Haaland, Jesus up front. Currently benching Trippier, Bailey and Archer.
Who's Ward got?
He's Southampton at home.
Oh, yeah, fine.
Which I think is okay, right? And Sanchez is away at West Ham. Now, West Ham aren't exactly pulling up any trees themselves.
Oh, you see, I think I'd play Sanchez away at West Ham.
It's a tough one, actually, that, because Brighton have looked all right defensively, haven't they?
Southampton have got some real... Well, Southampton have got problems, but they are scoring goals. They've scored in both the last two, but Brighton are looking good defensively, and Brighton are way better away from home. And I've been very disappointed by West Ham.
Yeah, and I've actually been more impressed with the way that Brighton have started the season than Leicester City. I still think there's a few issues at Leicester, and I still think Brendan Rodgers has got it in him to make some, quite frankly, ludicrous substitutions like he did in game week one to throw that game away. But Brighton, on the other hand, have, you know, beaten United and they've had a couple of good results. So I think they, you know, I would be more than happy, I think, to play Sanchez. So that is definitely a decision I need to make, because West Ham haven't exactly started like a house on fire. But right now, as you are benching Trippier, not going to play Bailey at Palace. I think it's a very difficult game for Aston Villa, going to away to Crystal Palace.
Well, I do.
It's very difficult.
But that's the other thing, is we've got to see what Crystal Palace do tomorrow night, right?
We do. We do. But I think Palace at home are a good side. And I think they're well drilled. And I think
can't bench him. Look, why do I play for him?
Yeah, I know. It's a difficult one. But at the minute, in terms of transfers for me next season, next week, because I have two. Listen, the front two aren't going to change. I mean, even if Darwin goes big against Crystal Palace and starts and he looks great and everything else, I think I'm sort of confined to, unless Jesus gets in, I ain't taking out Jesus.
You can't.
You're just not, are you?
No.
I mean, the next five are unreal, and he's on form, and he's just banged 19 points. I don't care how good Darwin looks or how much I want him with my red goggles on, I'm keeping Jesus.
You'd also have to take out Robbo to do that.
Yeah, which actually is something that I am considering. So right now, the Liverpool double up at the back, Trent and Robbo. Listen, it's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. I'm very happy to have those two. Because on any given day, they can do good things. And Robbo, I still think, is good value at 7 million. But just looking at Reece James and just looking at Cucurella and looking at the those fixtures going forward for Chelsea, I think I'm going to want some Chelsea cover. They played well today. They were better than I thought today against a good Spurs side that had a good pre-season and started well in game one.
They're not a bad side, Chelsea.
They're a good side and they played well.
Just defensive. It's just that they don't have a number 9 yet. But going forward, like defensively, and the wing backs are good options.
So one other thing that I've considered is keeping exactly everything as it is, but just changing Trippier to Cucurella. Now, I know that Cucurella, the Chilwell thing is there. I get that. And he might come into the team. I still think Cucurella would then just drop into the left side of centre back rather than going left wing, which would probably make him a little bit less of an FPL option if Chilwell was to play there. But
who would that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to get my head around the Chelsea defence, right? But
Koulibaly and
you've got Thiago Silva there as well.
Thiago Silva.
I mean, Azpilicueta doesn't seem to be getting a look in
at
the right side, does he? So, I don't know. But listen, Chelsea wouldn't have spent the thick end of 60 million quid on a fullback if they weren't going to play him. And he did play well today.
He was brilliant today. He was best player, I thought.
And at 5 million, on a lot of set pieces as well. Got, obviously, the assist for the Koulibaly goal, right? So, Trippier, I'm a bit loath to lose, actually, to be honest with you, because they've got back-to-back clean sheets and he's got bonus points.
Are you
both
only thinking of selling him because he's got Manchester City next?
Well, it's Liverpool 2 weeks from now as well, right?
Yeah, but you can bench him for those two.
I know you can, but that's City, Wolves away, Liverpool in the next three, when I could have a Chelsea, I could have Cucurella in there, I could have Reece James, somehow find a million to do Reece James. I want in on that Chelsea defence. And if I have made a mistake by getting Cucurella, then I can fix it. Because 3 game weeks from now, when I might go, oh, I made a mistake on Trippier, we're on game week 5. I'm going to be wildcarding.
Yeah, see, that
7.
Is, I mean, that is a good point, because that's the other thing I could do.
It's short term, isn't it?
I have got the money to do cash to Reece James.
Yeah. What are you thinking? You're thinking about that, aren't you?
But this is the problem with my team, is that I'm looking at it thinking it doesn't need a wildcard, but there's a lot of things I'm thinking about, which is why I'm doing nothing at the minute, because there's so many things going on in my mind. And I think the Chelsea wing-backs look like good investment options. Fixtures are nice. Yeah. As you say, get into wildcard time. We can worry about it then. I would like Cucurella because he's cheaper and he fits into that bracket. I don't really want to sell Trippier because I think
he's playing well.
He's in good form. He's
7-7 so far, right?
Everything looks positive. I would like to keep him. Yes, he's got Man City next, but I can bench him. I am happy to sell cash. And I do have a million in the bank. So yeah. I can do Rashford to Martinelli and cash to James for a -4.
Yeah.
And that feels quite nice.
I must admit, there's nothing in my team that I'm screaming, I've got to change it.
That's the thing.
And I've got 2 free transfers, so I'm trying to be as proactive as possible.
Who are your 2 other benches? Sorry, you've got Trippier and who?
Trippier, Bailey and Archer. So could I do something about Bailey? Yeah, but listen, he's 5 million. He can sit there. I've got 500,000 in the bank as well, so could I upgrade Bailey to Neto or something? Maybe, but
yeah, but Neto's not looked great either,
has
he?
It feels like such a luxury transfer, doesn't it, to do that? So could I do I'm kind of looking at Trippier. I'm looking at the rest of my team and going, well, either my Foden theory about them being wide and it all being about Haaland. Because next time he has the opportunity to shoot Foden, is he now going to be thinking, I've got to square it?
Well, yeah.
That's my problem with him now. It's because he's had a bollocking from Pep for not passing it to Erling. I'm a bit worried that the next time he's in a goal-scoring position, he's going to think twice. And he might just look for him rather than go alone like he did today.
No, I don't think that happens. I think the next...
That's a bit of a concern.
I don't think that happens. I think he will get his head up, though, and see if there's anyone else around. Whereas I think Foden's natural reaction is shoot on sight.
Yeah.
But I think now what he'll do is he'll still shoot on sight as long as he doesn't catch a glimpse of flying Haaland coming into view.
The chat is saying, why is my Andreas not injured and yours
is? I was looking at that, thinking I prefer your Andreas Pereira to mine. Can I have yours?
What the hell?
You must have taken your screen sheet before he got...
That's random, isn't it?
Did you take your screenshot before he got flagged?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, I prefer Lees. Can I do a transfer for Lees, Andreas Pereira?
So Harvey in the chat is saying Bailey to Aronson. Like that.
Yeah, I like that.
And Leeds are playing well, so quite like that as well. So listen, lots to be discussed, lots to be thought about while we're away on holiday next week, so I might not be thinking too much about FPL.
But that's the other thing that put me off the wild card.
What, you're not going to have a lot of time to think about it?
Well, just just because we were on holiday and I was thinking, oh, this could be a bit of a disaster, couldn't it? Can you imagine me standing in a roller coaster queue
doing my wild card
with Max in the background going, Mammy, can I make a fantasy transfer? Yes. And I'm going, yep, hang on, let me log into your team.
I can see it happening. So listen, lots to
be
discussed.
He's beat me again, by the way.
Is he beating you already?
He's beat me again. Second game week in a row, he's beaten me.
You can set him up a pretty good team.
Yeah, but it's because he's played Trippier.
Yeah.
We've both benched him. We need to pay attention to what our 8-year-old son's doing.
Got to be playing Trippier. So there we go, guys. Those are the bus teams for game week 3. Lots to be discussed. I'm probably going to make a pretty proactive around the edges transfer. I don't see me changing any of the core components of that team. But I still don't think I know enough.
No, I agree with you.
I still don't think I know enough.
I
want a Spurs fullback.
It's very hard to know which one.
And on the basis of, I have to say, I still don't think, could I go Foden to Kulusevski? Well, I could do, but...
No, I don't think you want to.
I don't want to right now. I thought Kulusevski was brilliant in game week 1, but listen, I could have played against Gineppo and got a haul. In game week 2, he got absolutely bossed out of the game by Chelsea. So
he's not going to get bossed out of the game by Wolves.
We still need to see more, I think, from Kulusevski. Right, we still need to see more. And some of you are saying Perisic, yeah, yes, but the Sessegnon thing. I'm not an FPL player that, given I've had a good start as well, I don't just want to go piling into Spurs blindly. I'm happy to wait a week or two more, miss out on some Spurs points, and be sure that I've got the right Spurs asset.
It's the lunchtime kickoff as well.
We're going to be spending some money on these players, right? Kulusevski will be my second most expensive transfer. And I'm bringing him in and probably getting rid of a player that's just got 9 and probably should have had more.
Yeah, because actually the way your team's structured, you can't really do it unless you sell a premium.
No. If I was bringing in Kulusevski, it would be for Foden. Yeah. I ain't doing that at the minute, no. The way the City are playing.
You really want a Sessegnon or a Perisic or a Doherty.
And if I'm going to dive in on one of those, it's got to be for Trippier. And at the minute, I'm far more inclined to go Chelsea fullbacks because I think I know a bit more on what I'm getting into, particularly with Reece James. So, listen, lots to be discussed. Have we got a busy week this week? I don't think we have got that busy week, have we? Because we're away. So a lot of the podcasting and stuff is on the back burner.
No, I'm podcasting still.
Are you? Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. You're taking your work with you. So that is the commitment to FPL.
So as soon as we finish this live stream, this mic is getting packed up into my hand luggage and it's flying with us.
It's coming with us on holiday.
On holiday.
Look at you. So committed.
So that I can do the podcast on Thursday morning. So I'll be on the podcast again on Thursday morning with Kelly and Jules. This time we're joined by Ian Irvine, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, Ian's lovely.
Great.
Ian.
And
yeah,
we've worked with him lots of times
good.
Before on the pod and also on the FPL show when that was a thing. Looking forward to that. So you'll still be able to catch me on the podcast this week. We'll record an Ohana from a hotel room when the kids are asleep.
Yes, patrons, look out for that.
To the patrons.
How are we going
to
do that?
We did do it before. We might actually have to revert back to one of us records Ohana on our own this week.
It's going to be hard, that one.
Maybe I'll do it when you take... Because on Thursday morning, Lee's got to take the kids for breakfast. I'll miss breakfast to record the main pod. So maybe I'll record my Ohana at the same time.
Sports this week?
No Sky Sports this week.
I'm on in a couple of weeks, aren't I?
A couple of weeks for you. But yeah, thanks for the support on that because genuinely I was very, very scared. But I'm really excited to go on it again now I've done it once.
Yeah,
like
awesome.
Having watched it back, I'm like, okay, I'm really excited to go and do it again. Also, a massive thank you to everyone that's followed me on Instagram in the last few weeks. I've had
a little bit of a spurt on that.
Like we've been stuck on like 10 points.
It's because you've started doing Insta reactions again, you see?
Well, maybe. You see? Maybe, I don't know. We've been stuck on like 10.3k for such a long time. We're now like nearly at 10.9k now. So we're just ticking close to that 11k. So if you aren't following me on Instagram, come along, give me a follow on Instagram. Let's get over 11k.
Brilliant. Guys, thank you very much for joining us here. And thank you for sticking with us at the beginning. I've just seen some... So OBS, which is the software we use to stream, tells me how many dropped frames we've had. And we had 14.4%. I think it was much better towards the end of the live
stream.
Seems
stable.
But at the beginning, we definitely were dropping out quite a bit. So guys, thank you for anybody that stuck with us. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, it sounds as if the audio has come through okay. So the podcaster should be absolutely fine. But guys, well done in game week two. Good luck to the Salah captainers.
Not finished, yeah, yeah.
There will be a few of you that have got Salah captain and Trent and Robbo and Diaz and maybe some Darwin owners as well that are looking for the points tomorrow night at Anfield for Liverpool's first home game of the season against Crystal Palace. Good luck in game week three. We will see you this time next week, 8:30 Sunday night for a look back at game week three. When I will have done my two transfers, you maybe will have played the wild card. Who
no,
knows?
I'm
Let's
not playing.
See.
I Let's can't. See.
Who knows?
I might have done something random, though.
What? Like what?
I don't know. Anything could happen. I'm just so desperate to get rid of Rashford that anything could happen.
Rashford for anyone. Literally anyone.
I'll get you in instead.
Me for Rashford. I'm very expensive. I'm 13 million. Guys, leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new to FPL Family. And we will see you this time next week. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.